Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chaf, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, in the middle of the Amud, Tana Rabbanan, Machtzela Shel Shifa V'Shel Gemi. To review what we had learned in the previous shiur, the halacha is that something which is Mekabel Tumah may not be used for Schach. A mat which is used to recline on is certainly a keli, is certainly considered halachically a vessel, a utensil, and therefore it's mekabel tumah, and may not be used for schach. The Gemara had concluded in explaining the machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Lezer and the Mishnah, that both the Tanakhama and Rebbe Lezer agree that a machtzelis ketana, small mat, should be assumed that it was made for shchiva, for reclining, and therefore it's a keli, and therefore it's mekabel tumah, and therefore it's disqualified to be used for schach, and that gedoyla, a large mat, we learned was a machloikis Tanakhama Rebbe Lezer. Tanakhama held that we could assume a gedoyla was not made for reclining, and therefore is permissible, and Rebbe Lezer is machmer on a gedoyla also. Begins the Gemara with a brayse, Tanabon. Machtzela shel shifa v'shel gemi, a mat made out of different types of grass. Gedoyla, a large mat made out of these materials, mesachachim ba. Ketana, a mesachachim ba. A small one may not be used. Which is actually the same shita, as we just finished describing, of the Tanakhama, of the Chachamim, in our Mishnah. Not a Gemara discusses shel konim v'shel chilas. Different types of reeds, grass. Gedula. Here the word is gedula, not gedoyla. Gedula means braided. If it's braided, mesachimba. You could use it for schach. Why? Because since it's braided, so it's not a flat, smooth surface. Something braided is bumpy. So it's not going to be used for laying on, because it's not comfortable to lay on. And therefore, it's not a keli, it's not mekabel tumah, and it may be used. Aruga, however, if these materials are woven, you may not use them, because when it's woven, it's a nice, smooth material, and therefore it's shchiva, and it's not acceptable. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi, Mishum Aviv, achazu v'achazu, whether it's braided or whether it's woven, mesachim ba. It may be used for schach. Mekain haya Reb Doisa Oyme Kedvarov, and Reb Doisa said the same thing. There's a machloikis rishonim. Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos versus the Rif and Rosh. Reb Doisa and Reb Shmuel Reb Yosi are making a statement that the machtzelis made out of konim may always be used. Makes no difference if it's woven or braided. Regarding what type, what size machtzelis are they talking about? Are they talking about both a large machtzelis and a small machtzelis? Which would mean that Reb Doisa is arguing with the Chacham V'Am Mishnah. Because the Chacham V'Am Mishnah, we just finished saying, hold that a small machtzelis shel konim may not be used. And they're going to say it may be used. Or are they talking about a large one? But in a small one, they'll agree that it's not acceptable. Rashi and Tosfos learn that Reb Doisa and Reb Shmuel Reb Yosi are talking both with a large or small machtzelis, and therefore the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, the Chacham of our Mishnah, cannot agree with Reb Doisa. On the other hand, the Rif and the Rosh say that they're talking about a machtzelis gedoyla strictly, a large one, but with a small one, Reb Doisa and Reb Shmuel would agree is not acceptable. And perhaps we'll bring rayas to the shitas as we go further in the sugya. The Pnei Yeshua asks a very fundamental question. He says, whatever type of mat we bought, gedoyla, ketana, whatever material, why, when somebody takes this mat and puts it on top of the sukkah, should that not automatically be considered that it's not considered a mat for sleeping? Let's say I go to the store and there's a mat on the wall, and it says mats for sleeping. But I take that mat, and I put it on top of the sukkah. Isn't that the biggest proof that Tamidus mat is not for sleeping? That Tamidus mat is for being used as chach? So the Pnei Yeshua answers that to take a mat, which was designated for sleeping, and just because I put it on the schach, put it on the top of my sukkah, that should make it that it's no longer a mat for sleeping. It's not enough of a maisa in the mat itself to have it lose its status. However, I found an interesting Avni Nezer. The Avni Nezer, and he explains the Mordechai that way, draws a distinction between something which is mekabel tumah midoraisa and something that's mekabel tumah midrabbanan. The Avni Nezer says that something that's mekabel tumah midoraisa, you just can't say that it's no longer a mat because I put it on top of the sukkah. However, something which is only mekabel tumah midrabbanan, there, says the Avni Nezer, and he explains the Mordechai that way, it would be enough that if I take that mat and I actually place it on the top of my sukkah, that shows that to me it's no longer a mat for sleeping, it's a mat for schach, and that would be enough to make it kosher schach. Begins the Gemara, Tanan Hossam. There's a Mishnah Masechta Idyos. The Mishnah says, Kol ha-choitz lois metametam emeistav Reb Doisa. A vessel, as long as something is a keli, it's susceptible to tumas mess. That means if a mess touches it, or it's under the same oil as a mess, it's susceptible to tumas mess. Then there's another type of tumah, which is called tumas medris. Tumas medris means that the halach is that if a zav or a zava sit on a keli, which is meant for sitting on, it's metamit with a tumas medris. Says the Mishnah Masechta Idyos. Chaitzlis, whatever they should be, well, the Gemara will explain it in a moment what they are metamet tumas mes. V'chom ayrim medris. It's susceptible to tumas medris. So the Gemara immediately stops and makes an observation. It seems that the Chacham are holding that it's makabel tumas medris, not tumas mes. Ask the Gemara. Medris in. Are these chaitzlis only susceptible to tumas medris, tumas mes loy, and they're not susceptible to tumas mes? As the Gemara Nantanan, we learned the Mishnah in Masechta Nida, call a metama medris, anything that's makabel tumas medris is certainly metama tumas mes. Why? Because according to the explanation we just gave, it's very obvious. As soon as something is a keli, it's makabel tumas mes. To be makabel tumas medris, it has to be a keli plus. What does it mean have to be a keli plus? It has to be a keli, which is also a keli used for sitting. But it certainly has to be a keli. So how could something only be makabel tumas medris and not be makabel tumas mes? And it says, Gemara, of course that's what it means. Eim af medris. When the Chacham said that these chaitzlis are susceptible to tumas medris, it didn't mean to exclude that they're susceptible to tumas mes. It means that they're susceptible both to tumas mes and also tumas medris. But ask the Gemara, my chaitzlis. What are chaitzlis? Amar Avdimi Baramduri Mizabuli. Ask the Gemara, my Mizabuli. Amar Rav Ava Mizabli. Mizabli are sacks made out of leather that the shepherds used to keep their items in when they used to go out with the animals. And sometimes if the shepherd wants to lay down, he'll take this sack and use it as a pillow. So that's why it's makabel tumas medris, because he lays on it. Rav Shim ben Lokeshimer, machtzolus mamish. It's regular mats. So before we go further, we need to understand. According to Reish Lakish, that he says that they're considered regular mats, the question is, so why are they called chaitzlis? Why aren't they called machtzelis, like every other mat? So the Sfasemis explains that these mats are smaller than the regular size mat. And since they're smaller than the regular size mat, they don't have the regular name of machtzelis, they're called chaitzlis. Now the question is, if these sacks, according to the Mandom, that they're sacks, are used as pillows, why? How could anyone argue, how could Reb Doitza say that the Namakabal Tumas Medras? We just explained that the shepherds put their heads on them when they rest. So I saw two answers to that question. The Rishonim asked the question. One answer is that since they're made out of material which is hard, so it's not something that somebody comfortably uses to lay on, and that's why Reb Doitza says that they're not considered something to lay on, that they should be Metamah Tumas Medras. Another answer is a concept we find many times in Shas. The Gemara discusses, let's say you'll have a barrel. A person could sit on a barrel. So is a barrel Metamah Tumas Medras? So Gemara says it's not Metamah Tumas Medras. Why? Because if somebody were to sit down on a barrel, and somebody needs the barrel to take whatever's in it, or to use the barrel for what it's made for, the person that wants to use the barrel could tell the person sitting on the barrel, I'm married for Nasim Lachtein. Please get up. This barrel wasn't meant for sitting. It was meant for whatever you do with a barrel. Similarly, this sack is not really made to be a pillow. It's made to be something that's used as a bag. And therefore, it's not Matama to Mismedris. Says the Gemara, V'azer Rish Lakish L'tamei. Rish Lakish goes according to something that he said. Dom Rish Lakish. Hareni kaparis rabchiu ubonov. My life should be a kapara for Chia and his children. The halacha is that when somebody is nifter, for the first year, his children, his talmidim, are not supposed to say Olav Shalom or Zichrona Levracha. They're supposed to say Hareni kaparis mishkavai. That means that we know that the person, when he comes to the Olam HaEmes, for the first year he's judged. And we say that if Chas v'Sholem, this person, the Olam HaEmes, is supposed to be judged with an oinish, with a punishment, Hareni kaparas mishkavoy. I want to accept that punishment and let this person be able to go to a lechta gegan Eden. Shebetchila kishnishtacha Torah Yisrael. When the Torah was forgotten from Klal Yisrael, Ola Ezra Bavel v'Yozda. Ezra came up from Bavel and reminded them of Torah. So Rashi says, Chas v'Sholem, Klal Yisrael was never in a situation that all of the Torah was forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was in a situation that certain halachas were forgotten. Ezra was the last of the Nevi'im, and in his time, when Klal Yisrael went into Golis, they forgot some of Torah Shebiksav, and Ezra came and reminded them. Chazvin Shtakcha, and again some halachas were forgotten, Olah Hela Bavli V'Yozda. Hila Bavli reminded them. Chazir v'nishtacha, Ola Rav Chiyah Bona v'yistua. Rav Chiyah and his children reminded them. So the Aruch Lener explains this Gemara, that this Gemara refers to three different times in the history of Klal Yisrael. Ezra was last of the Nevi'im. And in his time, Torah Shebiksav, some of it was forgotten, and he reminded Klal Yisrael of that Torah Shebiksav. Hillel, as we know, the Mishnah Masechta Avos was the last of the Messiah of the Torah, the generations that gave over the Torah. So again, after Hillel, there was the Messiah that is so vital started getting weaker, and they needed Hillel to remind them. And Reb Chiya was the last of the Tanoim who had arranged the Brises, which explained the Mishnayos. And after Rav Chiya was nifter, people started forgetting Brises, which led to misunderstanding of the Mishnayos. From here, there's a vort from Rav Chaim Briska, Rav Chanan Wasserman quotes Rav Chaim Briska, we see how important every halacha of the Torah is. As Rashi told us, it wasn't that all of Torah was forgotten, Chas v'Shalom. Only certain halachas were forgotten. But even if only certain halachas of the Torah were forgotten, the Gemara calls it Kinshtacha Torah Yisrael. And I saw a very interesting psak from Rabbi Yoshev. Rabbi Yoshev says like this, if there's a question who to choose as a Rosh Yeshiva. So Rabbi Yoshev says you should choose a person who has Bekiyas. Because the Gemara says here you need a person that knows Kol HaTorah Kula. He says on the other hand, when you need to choose a Rav who's going to pass Kinshilas, there it's more important to pick a person who's a lamdan, because not everything is explicit in the Shulchan Aruch, and you have to be able to compare situations, and for that you need a lamdan. There is no disagreement regarding the mats that were used on Usha, Shein Tameis, that the Mekabel Tumas Medras. because as Rashi explains, they were certainly used exclusively for sitting on, and since they used exclusively for sitting on, they're makabel to mesmeris. The shataveria, on the other hand, the bags, the mats, the chaitzlois that were used in Tveria were very hard, and certainly they're not makabel to mesmeris because nobody's going to recline in them. Aman nechalku, regarding what did they disagree? Al shamakaymus. Places that are not Usha, not Tveria. Masova, kiven the leka de Yosef Elayu, since nobody generally sits on them, ketveria damyan, they're considered like the Tveria chaitzlois, and they're not makabel to mesmeris. Or masova, on the other hand, the chacham hold, kiven the mikri yasvi Elayu, since certain times people will sit on them, even though it's not the general situation, that's enough to be considered that it's something made for reclining, and therefore could Usha Damyan, they're considered like the mats of Usha, the chaitzlis of Usha, and the makabel to mesmeris. So the Gemara now analyzes further this Mishnah that we quoted on Amar Aleph. Amar, kol chaitzlis metam to mesmeris, the Reb Moshe, according to Reb Dais, the makabel to mesmeris, not to mesmeris. Ask the Gemara of Atanya, Mekena Yer Abdois Aymekedvarov. Rabdois is saying here that the Makabel Tumas Mess. If the Makabel Tumas Mess, obviously, they are a Keli. What did Rav Shlokish explain Chaitzlus are? He says they're mats. So again, according to Reish Lakish's interpretation of Reb Daisa, chaitzlois are mats. And they're mats, their Reb Daisa holds they're at least enough of a keli that should be makabel to mesmes. How did we begin the shiur today? The Reb Daisa said the machtzolos shel kanim are not a keli and may be used as chach. So how are we going to reconcile Reb Daisa? Omamar! We learned in the Mishnah the Kol Chaitzus Matam and Tamemes. Divar Rav Daisa. V'tanya, we just learned the Kol Rav Daisa Dom Kedvarov that Machtzelois are usable, are suitable for Schach because they're not Mekabel Tamas Mes. They're not a Keli. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Hada Isle Gedanfa, Hada Lesle Gedanfa. It makes a difference. Sometimes around these mats, they put a rim. Gedanfa means a rim. If there's a rim around them, the makabel tumas mess. If there is no rim around them, then they're not suitable as a keli, and they're not makabel tumas mess. So the Ratvaz explains, and Bemis Tosfos discusses this concept of gedanfa on Amar Aleph. Tosfos says that it's not, as the Ratvaz explains him, it's not the rim that makes it into a keli or doesn't make it into a keli. Because Tosfos, for example, gives a good example. He says, let's say you'll have a cutting board. A cutting board doesn't have a rim, but it's certainly a keli. So he says, a rim is only a proof that it's going to be used as a keli. It's not that the rim makes it into a keli. The Achroinim say, from here we have a proof that Rashi and Tosfos that we quoted at the beginning of the shiur are correct. At the beginning of the shiur, we quoted a Rashi and Tosfos that said the Reb Daisa set his din both by a keli gedoyla, both by machzalos gedoyla, both by machzalos ketana. Say the achroinim. If the Rif and Rosh are correct, and when they said the Reb Daisa was meikel, he was only meikel by a gedoyla, by a keli gedoyla, not by a keli ketana. So why didn't the Gemara give it a simple answer? Habik Daila, Habik Tana. That the Mishnah Masechta Idyos is talking about a small chaitzlois, and Reb Dais at the beginning of the shiur was talking about a large one. The fact that the Gemara didn't give that teretz is a raya to Rashi and Tosfos, that the machzalos that Reb Dais was speaking about in the brisa that we began the shiur with is even by a ktana, and therefore the Gemara cannot give that teretz. Meitzvei asked the Gemara. There's a braisa that says, chaitzlus shel sham v'shel gemi, v'shel shak v'shel sfeira, all these different types of material, v'tam and tamer meis, divrei Reb Daisa. According to Reb Daisa, they're all susceptible to tamer meis, v'cham af medris, that they're not only susceptible to tumas mess, they're even susceptible to tumas medras. Says the Gemara, Bishlam l'mandam mirzabuli. According to Manda Amad, that said that the definition of chaitz lois means mirzabuli, which we explained with those sacks, so we could understand what they could be used for. Shel sham v'shel gemi, even though they're made out of these materials, and these materials, as we learned on Amad Aleph, are not woven well, according to Reb Daisy, so you can't use it for their flat surface. Ruin hein lekante de peri. They could be used as a bag to hold big fruit. Shel sak v'shel sfira, chazi legulki v'tzayni. They could be used to hold even smaller fruit. El amanda amar, machtzolis mamish, but according to Mandom, they're defined chaitzlois, as mats, bishlam shel sak v'shel sfira. According to the Mandom, that says that they made out of, the ones that are made out of goat hair, chaz leparsi. They could be used as curtains. V'nafusa means they could be used as a sifter. El shel sham v'shel gemi l'may chazu. What are they useful for? Says the Gemara, chazu l'nizyaisa. So Rashi says nizyaisa, that it could be used to cover a barrel of beer. Tosfos says, and he quotes a Mishnah Masechta Kelim, that the fact that something is usable to cover a barrel doesn't make it into a keli. So ask Tosfos, according to Rashi's definition of nizyaisa, that it could be used to cover a beer barrel, that doesn't make it something into a keli. So Tosfos explains that obviously they're used not just to cover the beer barrel, they're also used in the process of making beer. But I saw that Avni Nezer answers Rashi in the following way. Tosfos asking Kashan Rashi, that according to Rashi, something that's used to cover something is a keli, the Mishnah says in Masechta Kelim it isn't. So the Avni Nezer explains that when does the Mishnah Masechta Kelim hold that something used to cover something else is not enough to be considered a keli? It's only if I have something for storage. If I have a beer barrel, and I don't want the beer to be exposed, so I cover it with something, that doesn't make it into a keli. However, says the Avni Nezer, and this is how he explains Rashi, if it's not only used to cover the beer after the beer is already made, and you're just storing the beer in a barrel, but it's used to cover the beer as you're making the beer, as you're processing the beer, then even the Mishnah Masechta Kelim will agree that that could be considered a keli. So when the Gemara says that it's used for nizyaisa, to cover the beer, it means that it's used to cover the beer even while the beer is being made, and that's why the Mishnah will accept it as a keli. Ikadamri, another version. Bishlom l'manda machtzolos mamish. According to the Manda Amr, that the definition of chtzolos are mats. Shel sham v'shel gemi, chazal nesyaisa, they're used for the beer. Shel sak v'shel sfira, chazal leparsa v'nefzusa, they can be used as a curtain, or they can be used as a sifter. El Manda Amr mirzabuli, according to the Manda Amr, that calls them these bags, they could be used to hold these different smaller fruits and cucumbers. What are they usable for? So the Gemara, they can't be used to hold small fruits because there are holes between the weaving and the fruit will call out, but they could be used for large fruits. Tanya, Amar Rav Chananya, Kshirati L'Goyla, when I went to the Goyla, Rashi says, the Gemara in Masechta Bracha says that he used to go to the Goyla to be Ma'abr Shana, to decide which years should be a leap year. Shiradati L'Goyla, Metzasi Zachin Achin. Because the Gemara in Masechta Bracha explains that's when most of the Chachamim were in Bavel. V'omali, Masechim Ibuja. We're allowed to use a Machzeles for Schach. Ukshabasi Eitzer Rabbi Yeshua Achi Abba. When it came to Rabbi Yeshua, the brother, my father, Hoidel Advarov. It could be, I agreed. However, Amrav Chizda, I was explained earlier, for who the less legadanfa, that doesn't have a rim. Because if it has a rim, it's a proof that it's a keli, and a keli can't be used for schach. Amma Ula, Hani Bedusa, the B'nai Mechuzah, these mats from Chuza, imale kishalhem. If not for the fact that it had a rim, mesachim behem, could be used for schach. But because they have a rim, it's a proof that it's a keli. Tanya nami hochi, mesachim bebudya, we could use these budya, v'myesh lekir, if it has a rim, mesachim behem. Before we finish the sugya, I'm just going to quote a Ramah, which is really based on a Rosh. Because the Ramah says, very fundamental question, the Rosh asks, why, if I go to a store, and let's say it's a small mat, we'll make it a very simple example. In the store it says sleeping mats. Okay? You couldn't get a more designated mat for sleeping, that according to our Gemara, it should certainly be possible for schach. Ask the Rosh, why is it possible for schach? I'm buying the mat, the customer is always right. So the customer says that he wants, I the customer, I'm not buying it for sleeping. I the customer, I'm buying it for my sukkah. So why is it possible? Says the Rosh, and based on the Gemara that we learned today, and the Ramah quotes this Rosh, mats, or any of these items that are possible for schach, is not dependent on what I decide that they should or should not be. It depends on what they are generally made for. In fact, the Rosh goes one step further. Let's say somebody will make a mat. He wants to make a schach mat. And when he makes it in his factory, he makes it l'shem schach. He's in the schach business. But he duplicates a mat which is used normally for sleeping. That's the technology that he uses. Then it will not be kosher schach. Even though when he made it that it should be for schach. Because our Gemara, says the Rosh, is teaching us that we follow what these types of items are generally used for. And if this mat is generally used as a sleeping mat, the fact that I bought it, or the fact that I even made it for a different purpose, can't change that. Harim l'chsuka, harim l'chsuka, harim l'chsuka. Says the Mishnah, Hat yoshen tachas amita b'sukkah, if somebody sleeps under the bed in a sukkah, la'yotzi dei chavosai, he's not b'mekayim the mitzvah sukkah. Om Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, no'agin ha'yinu sh'yinu yishenu tachas amita b'fnei hazakeinim, we used to sleep under the beds in front of the zakeinim, they never complained. Omer of Shimon, says Rav Shimon, Ma'is b'tevi avdash Rav Gamliel, there's a story with Tevi, who was the servant of Rav Gamliel, shayoshin tach samita, that he slept under a bed, v'amalam Rav Gamliel zakenim, re'isi Tevi avdi, did you see my servant Tevi? Shetam t'chachem, they're such a great tam t'chachem, v'yadeish avodim turim in a sukkah, he knows that avodim of a Kanani is exempt from sitting from a sukkah, v'fikach yoshinu tach samita, and therefore he's under the bed, v'fidah kenu lamadnu, and according to that we learned, sh'yoshin tach samita lo yotzi dei chavosai, he has not fulfilled his obligation. So Tosfos asks the obvious question. The halacha is that an eved, tevi, who was an eved kanani, as far as kiyum mitzvahs, has the same din as a woman. Women are exempt from mitzvahs aseh shazman groma, so to Eved Kanani. So therefore, Tevi, who is an Eved Kanani, did not sit in the sukkah. However, as to Yerushalmi, the halach is that even though a man, even though a woman, or an Eved Kanani, are potter from mitzvahs aseh shazman groma, if they want, they can be mekayim the mitzvah. Women go listen to the shayfer. Women sit in the sukkah. They're not obligated, but they may. So yes, Tevi is potter, but why did he not do the mitzvah anyway? So the Yerushalmi, quoted by Tosfos, says that they had a small sukkah, and there were men that had to sit in the sukkah. They have no option. So Tevi, realizing the situation where there are men in the sukkah who have to sit in the sukkah, and it's him who may sit in the sukkah, but he's not obligated, made room for the people who have to sit in the sukkah. Ask the Chassam Sofer, we know that when it comes to Neris Chanukah, the halach is that women have to light Chanukah lecht. Why? Sh'af hein ho yabaisanes. Similarly, the Dalakaisis, af hein ho yabaisanes. Megillah. So, if we learned earlier in the Masechta, ask the Chassam Sofer, that the Nes, that the Sukkah is for the Ananiya Kovid, that Klai Yisrael were protected from. Protected them. In the Midbar, so women were protected by the Ananiya Kovit. So why don't we say Afhein Hayav Oisanes? So the Chasam Sofer answers, so in other words, he's asking that women and Eved Kananim should specifically have to sit in the sukkah. It shouldn't be voluntary. So the Chasam Sofer answers based on a gra. He says, when Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, they had a lot of nisim. They had the mon, they had the bear. We don't make a zeicher for the mon. We don't make a zeicher for the bear. Why do we commemorate the Nani Kovid more than anything else? So the Gra answers, because when Klal Yisrael made the eagle, the Nani Kovid left. The Baruch Hu is not going to give them a Nani Kovid. He's not going to be, the Shekhinah is not going to be with them as they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. Then, after Kabbalah Sotayra, Yom Kippur, Klal Yisrael did the tshuva, the Nani Kovid returned. But as we know, only the men served the eagle. The women didn't. So the nace of the Anani HaKovid was only for the men. The women didn't have any nace. They never lost the Anani HaKovid. They never did anything to lose the Anani HaKovid. So it's only men that have to sit in the sukkah, because they need to commemorate that they lost the Anani HaKovid and got them back. The women don't have to do that, because the women never lost them. They never did that Aveira. The Shem Shmuel explains that the Gemara here, the Mishnah here is teaching us that men sit in the sukkah, not goyim. And Shmuel says there's a specific issue not to let goyim into the sukkah. Why? He says the sukkah is a very unique mitzvah. As we've been learning, every inch of the sukkah is full of halacha. It's kodesh. Every inch we were speaking about the walls and the schach and everything. So when somebody walks into a sukkah, he's actually trampling on a mitzvah. How you let a step? You let a step on a sefer? Just Klal Yisrael, he says, realizes how, even though they have the right to walk into a sukkah, but it doesn't get to their head. He quotes the pasuk, Ki atem hamat mikol agoyim. Atem mematim atzmem. Even when you have the opportunity to do such great mitzvahs, you know how to take it in the right perspective, and it doesn't affect you. A Jew knows how to accept a mitzvah and not let it get to his head. Not everybody's up to that madrega. There's an interesting story that I saw from the Lublina Rebbe. The Lublina Rebbe once walked into shul on Sukkot, and there were people in the shul that had open gemaras, and instead of learning in front of the open gemaras, they were sitting and schmoozing. Got very upset. And he told them off, which wasn't really his style. And he was very upset all day. So his children, his grandchildren, asked him, the people did something inappropriate, but why are you so upset? So he said, because I had a kash in the Mishnah that we just learned, and the Mishnah that I just learned taught me that I should be very upset. The Mishnah says, "Hayoshin tachas amita b'sukkah lo yotzi yedei chavosai." So he said, my question with the Mishnah was, the Mishnah should have said, "Hayoshin amita b'sukkah lo yotzi." Why did the Mishnah say, lo yotzi yedei chavosai? Why did it add the two words, yedei chavosai? So he said, I'll tell you what I think Pshat in the Mishnah is. A person really is supposed to learn all the time. We can't learn all the time. We have to do what we have to do. We have to earn a living. We have to do other things. So if a person, when he has free time, learns, so that shows that when the rest of the time, when he's not learning, is because he has no option. The same thing is, he says, the halacha is that one is supposed to sleep in the sukkah all the time. Especially in Europe, not everybody slept in the sukkah because it was cold. It was cold. In fact, the Rishonim point out, I should have mentioned this, why does the Mishnah speak about Hayoshin, sleeping? Why does the Mishnah talk about eating in the sukkah? Because, as the Mefarshim explained, eating, you don't always have to eat in the sukkah. Achila Sarai, you don't have to eat in the sukkah. Shina, sleeping, even a Shina Sarai, you have to sleep in the sukkah, we'll learn in this parak actually. So he says, if a person doesn't sleep in the sukkah, he can have an excuse. What's an excuse? It's difficult for him to sleep in the sukkah, it's too cold. But if a person sleeps in the sukkah, and he sleeps under the bed, that's the worst thing possible. Because you're obviously not that cold, because you have no problem sleeping in the sukkah. So if you slept in the sukkah, why do you sleep under the bed? That proves that even in the times when you didn't sleep in the sukkah, it wasn't because you couldn't sleep in the sukkah, you were too cold. It's because you don't care about the sukkah. That's what the Mishnah says. Lo yotzi dei chavosai. It speaks not only about this time when you're sleeping under the sukkah, it speaks about all the other times that you didn't sleep under the sukkah. It's not because you couldn't, it's because you didn't want to. The same thing he said with the person learning. If a person doesn't learn because he's by his job, a person's not learning for whatever reason, I can understand it. But if a person is sitting now in shul in the afternoon, Shabbos afternoon, Yontav afternoon, he doesn't have an excuse that he has to get to his job. And he's schmoozing instead of learning. That shows that not only now is he being mevatel Torah. It speaks about all the other times that he doesn't learn. It's not because he couldn't learn, it's because he didn't want to learn. And that's why I'm so upset. Says the Mishnah. Veleka Sara. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah says, sleeping under the bed is layotzi dei chavosai. But there's no tent fachim between a bed and the floor. So why is there a problem? Answers the Gemara, Targum HaShmuel b'mita asara. It's talking about a bed that is 10 tefachim high, and that's why it forms a separate oil. And because it forms a separate oil, somebody that sleeps under it is not sleeping in the sukkah, he's sleeping under a separate oil. A few things, halach l'maisa. One, the Aruch HaShulchan says that even though we're learning now l'halach l'maisa, that if the area under the bed, not that I know too many people that go under the bed, but it's halacha l'maisa, that if the area under the bed is less than 10 tefachim tall, so it's not considered a separate area, and halachically you're allowed to be under it, still, preferably a person should not be under an enclosed area in the sukkah, even though it's not 10 tefachim tall, because there's a special inyan, this is Aruch HaShulchan saying in l'halacha, to be physically in the sukkah with nothing interrupting between you and the schach. The Brisker Rav, again, you probably have to be a Brisker Rav to do this. The Brisker Rav says, based on this Gemara, that if it starts raining in the sukkah, what should you do? Take an umbrella and sit under the umbrella. Because the umbrella certainly is not an oil. Doesn't make it into a fixed, separate area. It's like on the tent fachim. And you can still be sitting, it's not considered that you're sitting outside the sukkah. So if you sit in the sukkah with an umbrella, Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have a problem opening the umbrella. But if it's, and therefore the muksa. But on Chol HaMoed, if it's raining, the Brisker Rav used to do this, that if it rained, he used to sit under an umbrella in the sukkah. Which, as I said before also, that if it's raining and you have an awning, it's better to sit in the sukkah with the awning open than sit inside the house. Certainly, if you're doing that, don't make a leish of a sukkah. That is another interesting shaila that the Pasukim discuss. Let's say somebody has a small sukkah, and we just finished speaking how important it is to sleep in the sukkah. So he puts bunk beds into the sukkah. So the shaila is, are you allowed to sleep on the bottom bed? Because the bottom bed is under the top bed. So it's like sleeping under a bed that the Gemara discusses. So there's, first of all, Rav Ozner discusses the shaila. The shaila Shetshuvas B'Tzela Chochma discusses the shaila. And the first question is, when we measure the Yud Tefachim, do you measure the Yud Tefachim from the ground? Where there it's possible that there should be Yud Tefachim from the ground to the top bed? Or do you measure the Yud Tefachim from the bottom bed to the top bed? The B'Tzela Chochma clearly says you measure it from one bed to the next. Rav Ozner is not so certain. Moreover, and therefore the B'Tzela Chochma is Machmer, he says you can't sleep on the bottom of a bunk bed in the sukkah. Rav Ozner is Mekel. He says that the upper bed was not meant to be a mechitza, was not meant to be something to divide. It's the way the bed is constructed, and he paskins that you're allowed to sleep in a bunk bed in the sukkah, on the bottom bed. Tanan, Hossam. We learned the Mishnah Masechta always. Echet chor shechar rumayim, a hole that was formed by water. Oishirotzim. Or it was carved out by different insects, rats. Ashachlu malachas. There's machloikis how to learn malachas. Rashi seems to learn malachas means that it was eaten up by the sodium. The salt formed a hole, became madbech avonim. Or you have a row of brick, a row of stone, one on top of the other, And the question, and the kain sur shel kairos or beams, mal al tuma. All of these considered if they're an oil. And therefore, if there's, as we've learned so many times, if there's a mess under this, anything else that comes under the same roof becomes tumas oil. Becomes tummy with a tumas oil. Yudai mekal oil she'en osu b'day adam. If it's not a man-made oil, ain't oil. It's not considered an oil. Ask the Gemara, my time, Rabbi Yehuda. What is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda? Yalef oil by Mishkan. He learns the Gzari Shavavah from the Mishkan. Ksiv hacha zoyus ha-tayra odom ki yomus ba-oil. Regarding Tumas Mes, the Torah uses the word oil. The Ksiv hasam regarding the construction of the Mishkan. V'yafrish is oil ala Mishkan. Ma'ala halam b'day odom. The Mishkan was man-made. Afkan b'day odom. V'rabonon. The Rabbanon who disagree, and the Rabbanon hold that even an oil which is not man-made is considered an oil. Why do they disagree? So they say, oil, riba. Since the Torah keeps on using the word oil in the parasha paraduma, which is the parasha that discusses how one becomes purified from Tumas Meis, it comes to teach us that even an oil which is not man-made, formed by itself, is considered an oil. Tell me 20 minutes. I told you I'll do it in 4. I told you.